Hey guys, this is Dave Hall with Agoge Fitness Systems and Mental Meatheads. I've got on the phone with me my good buddy Tico Reindorf. And just to give you an indication, Tico and I have already been on the phone for almost half an hour and just totally got talking so fast and so furious that I completely forgot that I was supposed to be recording this interview for you guys. So there's a lot of gold that just got dropped, and I'm going to do my best to try to reclaim as much of it as possible. Tico, go ahead and say hey to everybody.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey. So what were we just talking about? I mean,
Well, before we get into what we were talking about, let's give everybody a little bit about your background. You're from the Great White North, right?
Yes. Living in Toronto right now, looking outside, there's a mound of snow on the ground, and it's freezing. So,
dude, I'm sorry, man. It's 60 degrees here in Alabama.
It's not fair. It really isn't. But the one thing that I wouldn't trade, I was introduced to my first palmetto bug, which is maybe one of the largest cockroaches I've ever seen in my life. So,
Yeah, we've grown pretty big down here. I will admit to that.
And I like how you guys try to give them a less offensive sounding name too.
That's right.
I was like, what the hell's a palmetto bug? That thing looks like a massive cockroach.
It is a massive cockroach, man.
Right.
Yeah, you don't squish that thing the first time, man. It'll walk off with your foot.
I had to beat one with like with my shoe. Like, not, I didn't just like squish it. I had to beat it. So, yeah, we don't have those up here.
No, I guess not. Yeah, bitter cold or giant cockroaches, one way or the other. You can't have everything, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so you're a trainer up in Toronto, and you've got a couple of really powerful products out on the market right now. The first one was actually what we were talking about, which was Big Man Strong. Give us a little background about Big Man Strong and what that's all about.
Well, initially it was... It came from that time when you and I met last summer. And
yeah.
I still remember, like, we were in the gym just horsing around. And then me stepping on the scale and not knowing how much, like, weight I had put on. But I stepped on, I was 292, and I was like, oh, that's the heaviest I think I've ever been, right? So basically, when I came home, I started dieting down a bit, and it worked to some degree, but like I was feeling like crap in the gym. Basically, like all my lifts were dropping. All that. We got two driving tickets because I was dieting so hard that like I had no sense of like I ran through two signs or whatever. This was like twice in one. This was twice in 1 week, right? On different occasions. So, basically, when I went out to Florida again, I was with like Chris and Elliot, and basically, the whole thing. We were just like, you know what? Screw this whole trying to get lean thing. Why don't we celebrate what I'm really about, which is about size and strength. So,
yeah, just, you know, okay, for everybody who doesn't know and hasn't had the opportunity of see Tico, Tico is a mountain of a man. Tico is a great, big, beautiful giant of a man. Dude is huge and is strong as hell to boot. I remember watching you shoot a quick little bench press video, and, you know, 3:15 was a warm-up set for you. And I was like, dude, I've never even seen 3:15 before. So, you know, that was incredibly impressive to me. And as a fellow big man, I have to tell you how relieved I am that that you have put this product together before, because I think, you know, like we were talking before I started the recording, for the last, oh God, man, I don't even know, 30, 40 years, you know, fitness has all been about, you know, being a fitness model, right?
Right.
About being these, you know, tight, tiny little dudes. And, you know, I mean, you know, I don't have anything against those tight, tiny little dudes, but I'm not one of them.
Right.
So trying to train like that is not to my best interest at all. You know, I'm sacrificing my strengths to attain something that really I'm not going to be very successful at.
Right. And it's funny because, like, I remember the first time I caught wind of, like, of lifting was, I was probably like 10 years old or something, and went to, I was in a bookstore. My mom was, it was like close to my mom's work. And like seeing a bodybuilding magazine and seeing these big, huge guys, right? And as a kid, that was like, I don't know, to me, that was the representation of what like a masculine man is, just like big and, you know. And since then, it seems as if the industry's gone away from that. And mm-hmm. you and I were talking about the whole, how people try to marginalize, like, big people. And they basically, you know, calling us, like, meatheads in a negative connotation. All those guys are just, you know, the automatic assumptions that we're just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And that might play into the psyche when it comes to people shying away from that, but I don't know, I think it's something to be celebrated.
Absolutely. I know, you know, that I have, since I have been less restrictive of my diet and allowed my training to follow its own natural progression, I've gotten much stronger and much more capable in the gym than, you know, when I was trying to diet down to meet, you know, really somebody else's aesthetic, somebody else's
right.
External, you know, idea about what I as a trainer should look like.
Right.
So that's huge. And Big Man Strong is a great product. So I'm very, very pleased to see it out there. And kudos to you. It looks good. You know, I'll throw it out there that you've got a background in graphic design, and it's one of the best looking products that I've seen. And the illustrations that you did for my Zero to Hero program made it look really good. So that's really cool talent to have on top of being a top-notch trainer and creator of products like this.
Thanks. I mean, it's funny because I wasn't even going to become a trainer, you know. I had gone to school for illustration, graphic design, and, well, I should give you a bit of, like, a background. I flunked every art course that I've ever taken, right? It was just, like, a lack of, I guess, maybe interest in what was being presented. But
yeah,
that's how the school systems basically work. But, I don't know, I'd always seen myself just as an artist, and I literally, like, fell into training, and now that's become something that, like, I do as a living. And I don't know, I guess I'm lucky that I get to be able to put the two together.
Wow, that's awesome. That is cool. Yeah, I think that Yeah, but your talent for both is so strong that it's only appropriate that you're able to put them both together and make them work. You know, and I think that will be, you know, one of the keys to your success. We were talking before the break about the power of the internet and its ability to leverage your ability to contact more and more people. And certainly, because the internet is so image-based, that creates a superpower for you for sure. That all your stuff looks super slick. So that's super cool.
Thank you, Dave.
Mighty Trainer, tell us about that. What's that all about?
So that was the brainchild of another trainer from Toronto, John Goodman, and myself. Basically, I grew up reading comics like since I was a kid, and I think comic imagery, it's such a big thing online, or it's had a resurgence online. So John and I came together and we're like, okay, let's create this thing specific for trainers and specific for the fitness industry. So that's how Mighty Trainer was born initially. It was a superhero who was running up against all of the idiocy that you find in like big box gyms, and it was super well received. I was a little bit taken aback, tell you the truth.
It's a great comic, man. I love it. I'm always looking forward to it. So and it's cool that you can use the internet like that to leverage it.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm still I feel like a fossil. I feel like just watching, we were talking about this before you started recording, just like watching the power of like social media and like seeing things that you create going out into the world and having people react to them positively and negatively. It's, I don't know, it still blows my mind.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's like, you know, Andy Warhol talked about that we all have 15 minutes of fame, and I think the internet has blown the potential for that up excessively. I mean, if you want it, you can easily become a minor celebrity. You know, you just have to work at it and be consistent, and you'll develop an audience. There'll be people out there that are like, oh, yeah, you know, you're Tico Reindorf, man. I've seen your stuff, you know. And somehow, you know, because it comes out of that box, right, it still has, you know, the mystique of television, I guess, or something.
Right.
It becomes elevated and becomes much more powerful than, you know, any other way that you might try to leverage that, you know, especially from, like, you know, back in the day when, you know, my age, that, you know, there before the internet, there were, like, zines, right? And there were, like, you know, self-published, you know, just mimeographed tracks that people would make and try to send out. And,
right,
you know, that gained a little bit of popularity, but not nowhere near what you can do now with the internet.
It's, I think it was like a week ago, I was in San Diego, and this is when my mind was like officially blown. This was the moment where I was like, this shit is real. And it was like, I went down with Elliot and his brother, and he had one of his talks, and he had about 50 people show up, but these were 50 of the most rabid fans I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Like, just die hard. They would have done anything for him. And, it's weird because I've spent enough time with him where, to me, he's Elliot. You know, the same way, like, someone who you grew up with. You're just like, oh, that's my buddy. But to see the power of just like YouTube and how it can create celebrity and how it can just bond people, yeah, it's nuts.
Wow. So you have spent a month down in St. Petersburg, sort of shadowing and interning with Elliot Holtz down at Strength Camp. I know some of us are familiar with some of the videos that you put together for non-jobs. And so that trip to San Diego was part of that whole process. What was that like for you? Go ahead.
It was, you know, it was probably one of the most pivotal things that I've done in terms of career, just overall. It was, the opportunity came up. Basically, I had been in contact with those guys, and they invited me to come down for what at first was going to be a week, and then I sort of persuaded them to make it a little bit longer. And it was, honestly, it was probably one of the best things that I've done. Because you get to see how someone else who's had a certain level of success works. And then aside from that, it's like deepening the relationship. But it it was crazy.
That's cool. I know that Elliot and Eric got to spend a little time with Paul Check. You didn't get to go along on that, did you?
No.
Yeah.
It was, you know what? That was, it was probably good that I didn't go. The conversations that we had in the hotel room after it was quite the experience. But I feel as if, what we always spoke about, people who are a little bit more, I don't want to say not grounded, but more less. How would I put this? Paul Check can go
way out there.
Yeah, way out there, right?
Yeah,
and it's a difficult place for me to go. And it's funny because, like, I sort of look at the guys that Elliot and I came up under, and I came up under someone who was very, same thing, very, very grounded. These were the protocols, you followed them. He didn't really investigate that other side, and I can see how that's framed the way that I approach training and maybe life. And then seeing Elliot, who's a student of Paul Check, and seeing Paul Check being reflected in him. So I could not have sat in on that. I would have been like,
that's cool. It's funny because you're right, and I think, you know, throughout this industry, you can find, you know, a whole perspective of, or a whole spectrum, I should say, of different perspectives. And that you go from, you know, like you say, the most grounded and connected to the earth, to, you know, some really airy-fairy kind of, you know, woo-woo stuff, and every stop in between.
Right.
And it definitely makes room for a huge perspective shift as you, you know, begin to explore what's available. But I also think that, you know, just like we were talking with your training, you have to stick with what resonates naturally with you. That,
right.
You know, trying to take on somebody else's game just because you think that that's what's popular or whatever, I think you end up getting burned that way. So if it doesn't resonate with your heart, then, you know, you're wasting your time.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have, I respect that end of things, and I can appreciate it, but, I don't know, at the end of the day, I've found that the people who gravitate towards me and my message, they're a lot more into having, I don't want to say like having a good time, but it's a very relaxed, almost, it's like a big brother, just someone that you can chill with. That's mm-hmm. how I resonate with people. And mm-hmm. you know what? That's who I am. So yeah, it works.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, how's your training these days? What are you up to in the gym?
I'm still a big fan of like the big lifts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Always pressing, always pulling. Some of the stuff that I was introduced to while I was down there, I know those guys are big proponents of some of the gymnastic lifts, which mm-hmm. are some of the hardest movements I've ever encountered in my life. I don't know if it's just because I'm like
tell
a big dude.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, but those rings humbled me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have a pair of rings now, and I'm gonna really try to see if I can make some leeway there, because there's nothing like being in a room full of guys who are like, I don't know, 100 pounds lighter than you are, and not being able to perform, you know?
Yes. No, I totally get it. Yeah. And my experience on the rings is very similar. Mental meathead that I've interviewed previously and met down at Elliot's place, Eli Poulos, again, is... Well, Eli's put on a little weight. He's been building himself up, but he's easily 100 pounds lighter than I am, and it's just phenomenal on the rings. His skills are really impressive. And I'll tell you, if you're looking for some good progression work to work your way through the rings, look into what Matt Wachlinski's got. He is an absolute master of progressions and taking, you know, a movement from its most basic, simplest form and building on it to make it more complicated. So, yeah, definitely check out any of his stuff over at the Consummate Athlete or the Strength Shop.
Is he another big dude?
No, he's not. Matt's actually a smaller dude, but his understanding of progressions. When I first started talking and working with Eli, the problem I had was that where Eli would start, I just, you know, I was like, your starting point is too difficult for me. I'm just not strong enough to get there yet.
Right.
And the cool thing about Matt is that Matt starts you at absolute zero. He's like, look. This is the most basic, you know, anybody can do this move, and then here's the next harder step, and the next harder step, and the next harder step, and building and working from there. Which I think, you know, is the essential key to any type of progression. You know, I think that our strength with, you know, say barbells, you know, our starting point might have been a little bit higher than your average person's because we were already big and strong.
Right.
And so, but you know, now the rings takes that away from us because we're big. We're still strong, but we're strong and big, and that big gravity has a real gravity becomes a real bitch, and really holds back ability and opportunity. So you're finding the simplest position, you know, even if it's just a matter of, you know, just building the ligaments and tendon by doing dead hangs for time.
Right.
You know, and then doing, you know, starting with just a simple dead hang, and then an inverted dead hang, you know, and being able to hold that for time. That's going to build you into a position where from there you can more effectively start working levers and those type of things. So I think it's important to know, you know, where first base is. Where's the very first step?
Right.
And a lot of the guys, you know, who are smaller and strong are starting, you know, two or three steps ahead of maybe where we need to start.
Yeah, I mean, that's awful. It's I was actually humbled. You met Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And never in my life did I think Ryan would be, he was calling me out for not being able to do something on the rings, and I was like, this cannot happen. You know? I was like, no, this is not okay. So yeah, that's my mission for the next few months. Next time I go to Florida, what are you guys going to see? I'm going to be like Cirque du Soleil.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Yeah. that's funny. And for everybody not in on the joke, Ryan's a tall, skinny white dude. His background is BMX racing, and he's been a client and trained with Elliot for a long time, and take nothing away from him. Dude's strong, but you know, compared next, you put him next to Tico, and you know, the smart money would be on Tico. So I totally get that. That's
sorry, I'm coming for him. I'm coming for him, Dave.
That's right, man. I got your back. I'm totally behind that 100%. So, all right, Tico. It's not going to be me because it's just too damn cold up there. But if somebody like me was up in Toronto and wanted to get in touch with you, was interested in becoming a client or getting to train with you, how would they go about doing that?
The best way is to hit me up via my blog. TicoReindorf.com. I mean, right now I'm doing a lot of private training, but mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way that you can get to me. So if someone is brave enough to like come and face this weather, that's how they could reach me.
That's right. I'm not brave enough. I am a cold coward, man. I'm perfectly happy to stay down here.
Like, I wonder if you guys know how good you have it. I really, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I will say I've had, you know, I've experienced Chicago in November, and and I, you know, I was in New York City in November too. So, and I got a small taste of what cold can be, and I don't like it. I'll just tell you flat out, I don't like it.
I don't even think those two places are comparable.
I know. I'm just giving you a scale of my wimpiness. So we'll just have to go from there.
That, like, I think that in itself, you know what? That's going to be my challenge to all everyone, like, all these guys who are talking all this trash, would be like, you know what? Come spend a winter in Canada, and then we'll see.
That's right. That's right. Come spend a winter in Canada and train.
Yeah.
And, you know, get your ass out of bed and get to the gym, and then come talk to me about what you can do.
Right
on, man. I support and applaud that for sure.
All right.
But Tico, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, what you've got coming out next. Definitely there will be a link to Big Man Strong on the page and a link to Mighty Trainer as well. I think those are both real strong things you've got going, and I'll do my part to help build your audience there. So, man, I really appreciate you. Thanks again for doing this.
It's my pleasure. Like, thanks for having me on. Thanks anyone who's sitting at home and who's watching this. Yeah, I mean, it's my pleasure.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to sign off. Hold the line.